Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
You know, I love worship. You can come to a service and have all kinds of stuff happen in the day or on your mind, or maybe there's a bill that's due and you've got no idea how you're going to pay that bill. I'm telling you, though, there's something about worshiping Jesus where you just know it's going to be okay. You just know that he's got your back, and he's got your front, and he's got your side, and your other side too. He's the way maker. He really is. And oftentimes, we get so caught up on the mechanics of what's in it for me. I want to tell you something. It's all about him. And he, if we could get the understanding of it really is about him and not us, you know, we're very self-centered by nature because we were born, you know, from the cursed earth curse system. You know, we get translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light when we say yes to Jesus and invite him into our hearts. But there has to be a growing in him, a change, and it doesn't come naturally. You have to press in for the greater I am and the less of me, so to speak. And, you know, we're in a season that is so exciting in the spirit. If you could see in the spirit, and some of you know and have perception and spend time, we are in the greatest days, I believe, right now. I mean, this is a great time to be alive in Jesus. And for those of you that are partners, you may have got the message this month already. And you know, God gave me the analogy of from Charles Dickens' book, you know, it was the best of times or the worst of times. If you're a paper CD, you won't get that. It comes out in an email letter with the message. And really, I feel like that's the season we're in. It's either the greatest time or the worst time, depending on where you're positioned in him. And here's the really cool thing. It's your choice. You can't pay your way. You can't earn your way. You just have to submit yourself, your ideas, and your flesh, and make him Lord. That's the only requirement. The field is level. We're all created equally in the image of God. None of us is special. None of us is great. We have to call on God's grace daily. You know, we wrestle with our flesh. We wrestle with our thinking. But it's only by his grace that we obtain his mercy. And so start obtaining his mercy. Start going proactively after the gifts and the promises. It's like an owner's manual that nobody wants to open. The Bible is full of truth. It's full of direction and correction. We live in a day now where, oh, it's don't offend me, don't correct me. Jesus, correct me and direct me. I yield completely to you. Is that your prayer in your heart? And if it's not, it's okay. Make it today. Today, let it be the day that you say, you know what? I've been exalting myself. I thought it was about me. You mean it's not? You know, it's so easy to be the band leader in your own band, but it's a song, like a gong. It hurts my ears. You know, God loves a fragrant heart. He loves when you say, "Oh Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I'm a mess. Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, you know what? I'm trusting you tonight. I'm gonna trust you. Oh, I got this bill that needs to be paid. I don't know what to do. Well, I've got good news." You know, there's a cure for anxiety. You know, some people take Xanax, and I'm really not against medical medication, but because sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to calm our mind down or calm our thoughts down so that we can hear truth. But I'm going to tell you, that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit. It'll settle, but it never delivers. He's the deliverer. He can deliver anything, anyone, anytime. And if you don't believe that, think back in the Bible when he split the Red Sea. Think back in the Bible when he raised his own son from the grave. There's resurrection power that is for all of us. And he wants us to tap into it. And some of us are living double lives. Now, you know me. I won't judge you. I will not judge you. But God likes to say, hey, come on out of there. Why are you justifying that lifestyle? Why do you keep going and visiting that place? You know it's dark. You know it leads to bondage. Come on out of there. And so God, when we were worshiping, oh, first I have to tell you, who is struggling with a heart issue? I saw when we were worshiping tonight a valve. I saw it twice. On the top of a heart, there's like a valve where there's an issue. God healed you in worship tonight. So whoever that is, take that healing. And we love healing. Last week, some of you guys had to leave early, but we had somebody testify how he gave a word at the keyboard about something with an eyesight, and Tony got healed, or I got healed. She had like this gray film gone. You know, God heals, and we don't earn it, and we can't deserve it, but he just freely, in his presence, he'll heal, he'll touch, he'll deliver. That's what I love about him. And you can't outgive God. You know, he's always good. He never gives anything bad. So when we were worshiping, I could feel anxiety in the room. And you know, I'm like, oh, God, I'm so excited, you know, because this was my worst area. You know, I used to struggle with trusting God. And see, the cure for anxiety is trusting God. And so, you know, this is like for today. This is for everyone in here. Who does not have something that's trying to push them? You know, oh, maybe there's a kid who's messed up in something that they shouldn't be in. And you got a little pressure because you're like, oh, that's not good. Or maybe, you know, well, maybe your spouse is backslidden. Maybe your spouse is further along and you're feeling jealous. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Sometimes pressure comes pushing. I had it last night. The enemy was trying to get me to shut up about something. And I was like, I will not think that way. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. See, we have to recognize when a dart comes from the enemy because they come. And all it takes is one stick. Oh, yeah, it is bad. Oh, yeah, you're right. No, 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 no. What's God's word say? And then you say, I refuse to think those thoughts. And you push them right back. You push them out of your area, and you say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, what does your word say? And then you speak out loud what his word says. And what happens when you do that, it actually changes the course of your car, so to speak, of your life. Okie dokie. Whoa. I know I must have preached about this before because I still see the note in here. I love this chapter. We're in Matthew, and we're in Matthew 6 and 7. And so right here it says, what's the cure for anxiety? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I know this is ABC, but when the enemy is pushing, first of all, I like A, and I like B, and I like C. So we're going there, okay? I like things simple. And then every once in a while, he'll give me a big word I can hardly pronounce, and everybody's like, we know that's God. Here we go. So for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he's asking us a question, and then he goes and points to nature. And he says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they are? Well, we are, because we're created in his image. And also, we're heirs to his kingdom and his promises. And so we have rights as heirs. And that's what I'm talking about with the owner's manual. We have to know what our rights are. And for those of you who are like, what's my rights? I'm going to give you a shortcut. Look in Deuteronomy 28 and study that. And then, oh, I get that. Oh, I get that. Oh, I get that. Or don't. Yeah. So, the enemy likes us to worry, because when we worry, we're actually exercising faith for the bad thing to happen. And that means we're growing that seed of doubt. And we're the ones who have authority. We get to choose which seeds we're going to water, so to speak. And so, here it says, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about your clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of those. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into a furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, he's saying, if that's your situation, you just need to exercise your faith. Because faith is a seed. And where you sow is what grows. If you sow faith and believe in God's word and start speaking his word, you will see those things come to pass. Where you look is where you go. And I always say this. I always use the analogy of somebody who's, you know, on a bicycle, and you're pressing into the promises of God, and you're like, I'm believing for healing, I'm believing for prosperity, I'm believing for salvation for so-and-so, I'm believing in my pantry is full, I'm believing in all the blessings, blessed going in, blessed coming out, and you're driving in, and all of a sudden a dog comes running alongside you, and you look. You turn the course of your direction when you look. And then that thing's got you. Next thing you know, you're in a ditch, and you're going, wah. And here's the thing. You can say, shut up and go in the name of Jesus. And that dog will go, wah. And he'll back down because you have authority. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. Sometimes the enemy loves to sow those seeds. It's always going to be this way. It's never going to get better. It's all your fault. And he's hitting those darts trying to get you to bite like a fish and go, yeah, it is bad. Say, no, 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 no. I am blessed and I am favored. I am a daughter of the king. I'm a son of the king. And some of you have heard this message, but you've heard it with filters of, it's all about me and it's all about prosperity for myself. No, that's a filter. That's a watered down deception. It's all about him. It's really all about him. And because everything is about him and you are part of his family, you just get the benefits. Gary Cassie says it like this. In my house, when my kids say, pass the milk, I pass the milk. Not because they worked for it or earned it. It's because their last name is Cassie. Well, your last name is God's family. So you get anything you want. He's saying, ask of me. Ask of me. Believe. Dare to believe. And so here we go. I'm pre-preaching. So Matthew 7:7. Wait, let's back up. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's talk about that. Well, how do you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? First thing is, we have to make him Lord of everything. Not just Lord of my finances, Lord of my relationships, Lord of my work, Lord of everything. Lord, I am dedicating myself to you. I am dedicating my mind to you, my work to you, my business to you, my finances. I am holding nothing back. I want you to rule and reign in this house, this vessel right here. I am going to be your servant. You are my master. Teach me the way. And when you do that, you submit to his authority and rulership. And then what happens is you become sons and daughters, because we're not meant to be slaves. We're meant to be sons and daughters, which is really good news. And so a little further down, he says in chapter 7:7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, it further on it talks about what type of father would, when their son asks for bread, will give him a stone. And really, that's a picture of how good God is. He's so good and has so much for you. He's cheering you on to walk in the blessings of himself. And so what he's trying to get us to do is, and I love this, this scripture is like pounded in my heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Years I laid into that scripture. Years I practiced and failed and practiced and failed. It's only by, see, we can't willfully trust. I wish, you know, I do trust, but I don't trust. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. We know those scriptures. And what God is saying is, it's all about the grace of Jesus. Jesus died. He took everything to the cross, all sickness, all death, all the bad stuff. He took it to the cross. And when he came up out of the grave, he defeated death and darkness. And then he says, here's the keys, rule and reign, kids, until I come back. Here's the keys of the castle. Here's the keys. Here's my signet ring. And so we're trying to figure it out, but we're trying to figure it out without him. You can't do it without him, and that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Remember, when Jesus left, he told his disciples, I got to go, because there's only one of me, but I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, who will guide and lead you in all truth. I have to go. And so he left, and then he breathed on his disciples, and then the Holy Spirit was loosed. Released, hallelujah. And flames of fire on their head, and from there it spread and spread and spread. And what spread was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood among the three of them. You know, when we pray, who do we pray to? You know what? It doesn't matter. God knows, and he sorts it out. Don't get yourself tripped up on, well, am I praying to the Holy Spirit? Am I praying to Jesus? Am I praying to Father God? You know, whose voice? Here, the still small voice is the Holy Spirit. If you hear the still small voice, that is the Holy Spirit. Yes, you may hear an audible voice of Jesus. We know people that have. We know people that have heard Father God. We're not here to debate that. What we're here to tell you is point. Make straight paths to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into all truth. When you ask a question, he will find a way to show you in his word, through a message, and ask him, is this you? Ask him, because he will tell you. When you have a big decision to make, I remember the day he said, sell your house. I'm like, sell my house? You gave me that house. I said, I will, Lord, but I want confirmation. I want three confirmations. And sure enough, my daughter came home and said, we're going to live here forever. And I'm like, that's the enemy using her voice. No, we're not. We're going to live here until God says it's time to go. And I had already heard that it was time to go. So I just, no, we're going to stay until God says it's time to go. See, the enemy knows the plan also. So he doesn't know the whole package, but he knows enough. You know, he knows the current event. And so it's important not to come in agreement with deception. And so I knew I asked the Lord for confirmation, and he gave it to me. It took a while, but it came. Confirmation always comes. We can't force it, and we don't chase it. That's not how it works. You just trust that he will provide the answer, and he always does. And so with me, I had, I kind of came from the streets, and so I was like, you know, you watch your back and don't trust anybody. And so I had a hard time trusting somebody I couldn't see. And so God really had to work with me to help me learn to trust him. And it took trial and error. Here I am again, Lord, I blew it. I didn't trust you, and I knew that was you, but I just didn't trust you. I'm so sorry. Help me learn to trust. See, we can't just automatically, I trust you. Because when the time comes and the winds blow, if you're not steeped in him and know him, you're going to cave to the voice of the enemy. It's human nature. That's why we have to grow in relationship. And that's why it's important. And this doesn't happen overnight. This is called the walk of the Spirit. And how it happens is you have fellowship. When you meet somebody, you say, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. And you either spend time learning who they are and what they like, or you don't. And the Holy Spirit is like that. He's a friend, closer than a brother. And he wants you to get to know him. And so how do we get to know him? Through the word of God and through our voice. We say, look, you know, I don't get this. Will you teach me this? And you don't have to hear him, but there's a knowing inside. And you just know, oh, I think that was the Holy Spirit. And then you say, was that you? And he'll find a way to say yes if you don't hear that still voice. But eventually it comes because, listen, all babies start off not knowing how to talk, right? And their language grows and relationship develops. And we're no different than a baby. We have to grow this. And oftentimes we get so distracted with the cares of the world and the things that have to be done. Because we don't see him, it's easy to put him last. Oh, I promise I'll pray tonight. Oh, I promise I'll spend time with you. But he won't go, okay, he'll just wait. Because he's so kind, and he's so full of hope and love. And then when you do say, oh, here I am, let's spend some time together, he's like, I'm so glad you came. And there's always a blessing, there's always a filling, there's always peace. And so One of the things that's important is to slow ourselves down. One of the schemes of the enemy is to think everything's important and it all has to be done right now. It's really bad. It's got to be taken care of right now. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Who's in charge of time? We've seen him move time and seasons. Seek first the kingdom of God and watch what he does. When you show up, so does he. And oftentimes we get so caught up in, well, I just got to make this call, or I just got to check Facebook or check this post or whatever. If you sow seeds of, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first, you're going to grow so fast you'll be shocked. You'll be like, whoa. And people will be coming to you, what's God saying? Well, let me tell you. Because you're spending time in his presence. We weren't designed to do it on our own. That's the earth curse system. That's what happened when Adam and Eve fell. They were pushed out for toil and sweat and works, hard works. We weren't created for that way. We were created, you know, do you remember in the scriptures where it says, labor to enter my rest? There's a way, and you have to labor to enter rest because everything in you wants to go, this is crazy. But there's a way to live in a rested state in God all the time. And what happens is you grow in that also. It doesn't just automatically you have it. You exercise little step, and pretty soon when the basement floods, you laugh because you know God's going to take care of it. When somebody says something terrible about you, you laugh because it's really him they're talking about. You feel bad because they're, you know, saying something bad about him. But see, it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. There's a transaction that takes place where it really is all about him. You know, John the Baptist said it the best, and I really feel like we all know, well, not all, but we're in a season of John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. We're in a time in the Spirit, we're in a time and a season in history where we're going to see amazing things take place, but he must increase, and we must decrease. It's no longer, oh, I did this, oh, I did that, oh, I'm so great. Do-do-do-do! You know? I could just see heaven rolling their eyes. You know, that one's still in kindergarten. Okay, you know, finger painting. I'm kidding. But really, who raises people from the dead? It's Jesus, and he uses us. Who heals the blind? It's Jesus, but he uses us. And he says, will you dare to believe? Well, first of all, we have to believe. And many of us are like, God, I don't want any of that. It's no different than, remember when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, with signs and wonders will follow, and you're like, well, I don't know about that tongue stuff. You know, and now most of you are like, shada bada bada gada bada, you know. But it doesn't start that way. It's like, whoa, I don't know. You know, and the I don't know is always the enemy, okay? It's always the enemy. He's the one who sows seeds of doubt all the time. If you have doubt in your heart, those are not from God. Those need to be plucked out. And how you pluck them out is you replace it with the seed of truth. And so you think, okay, I love when I have I like to call them manifestations of the flesh, a reaction. Somebody will do something, say something, and I'll be like, rah! You know, something will rile up, and I'll be like, whoa, where'd that come from? I love when that happens because it's an opportunity to go to the Lord and say, oh, I see we got another area we're working on. Hallelujah. And then I the first thing I do is say, I'm so glad you showed me that. And I'm so sorry, Lord. I repent. I'm sorry that I'm, you know, I didn't know this was an area, but I'm glad. What do we need to work on now? And that's my favorite thing. What are we working on today? Because Rome wasn't built in a day. Okay? Everything takes planning and showing up and time. And so oftentimes we're like, it's so bad, I got to have an answer now. Well, first, back up. What are we working on today? And you'll know. Holy Spirit will whisper, well, you know how you got that rage, or you know how you're binge drinking, you know, that opens the door to the enemy, or you know how, you know, you can't get out of bed because you're depressed, but really it's not depression, it's because of a belief system and words were spoke against you and you got this heaviness. He'll explain. He'll give you the keys always to victory. And oftentimes people are like, pray for me. Okay. And if you're not pulling, you will not get. God is not the magic push the button. First of all, he's created us all to hear his voice and to know who he is through his word. And we got to lose this thing of, oh, she's special or he's special or, oh, that's the only way. We are all equal in God's eyes. Some of us grow a little faster or grow a little stronger, but it's only because we show up. Start to develop your spiritual muscles. Start to exercise. He's given every one of us a gift, more than one. Exercise the gifting and then check against accuracy. You know, I was at a meeting. Most of you know me. Some of you don't. I have discerning of spirits. I can tell when a word's from God and when it's not. The hair on my arm stands up. I was at a meeting. We were invited to it. And I was like, Lord, why did you have me come here? And he told me to go. And this lady is awesome on the keyboard. Just so not accurate with her prophecies, though. I was like, you know, really? I'm like, do I say anything? You just say hallelujah. And you go, Lord, what's going on here? And see, nobody taught her to check. Nobody taught her, hey, check your words and see. When you give a word to somebody, if you feel like the Lord has a word for somebody, like you'll just know, you'll get an impression or you'll see a picture, and then you get brave enough to share it with somebody, and you say, you know, I feel like the Lord's saying that ingrown toe is going to be healed, or, you know, that bill's going to be paid. You know, you'll get a picture of something, and you say it. Then you say, does that bear witness? And they'll be like, I don't have an ingrown toe. And you go, okay, so that's not accurate. Okay, so that's my flesh. That's not spirit. Okay. And then you go back to the Holy Spirit and say, I really blew that. I'm sorry, but I want to learn. I want to learn the gift of prophecy. I want to learn how to develop this gift. Will you teach me? And oftentimes, it's by spending time with him, it just comes. But oftentimes, people are like, I don't want to spend time. I just want to be the one. Be the one. You know, I got to carry a little trumpet around. So here's the thing. It's practice. It's practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice, practice, practice. You just don't all of a sudden walk in every gifting. You have to show up like you do for a fight. You have to show up and do the training, do the exercises. And in America, we're kind of like, just push the button. I want to be the one, but push the button. I'm going to ask you, why do you want to be the one? Usually it comes from insecurity. You know, oftentimes I'm like, use somebody else, use somebody else. And it's not because I'm insecure. It's like, I don't care. I don't need to be used. I really don't. I prefer not to. But he's like, you're going to go. And I'm like, okay, see you, sweetie. Love you. So here's the thing. God's trying to develop. He's trying to develop the giftings in us. And for those of you who have some gifting and are exercising, he's saying there's more. Don't settle. And see, when you start to be used in God, and I don't know why we're going here, but I know he wants us to. When you start to be used by God, the first thing the enemy's going to do is say, aren't you good? Didn't you do good tonight? And your flesh will be like, oh, I guess I was good, or yeah. But here's the thing, you go, no, he was good. And it's only by his grace. I know what kind of day I had today. It's only by his grace. See, he doesn't care. He loves the vessel. And he loves our heart, and that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for performance. And in America, we see a lot of preachers who are into performance. They can dress perfect and say the hallelujah. And you think, ooh, there's power. Listen, power comes from him, not from an inflection of your voice. And most people are so dull in the spirit, they don't recognize a true move of God. They're so dull and washed over and half dead and so steeped in deception, they wouldn't know a bread come from fresh bread. And God is calling us. He's shaking us because we're the ones, friends. We're the ones. This is the generation that's going to break through and say, he must increase. We must decrease. Signs and wonders are breaking out. This is the year, friends. This is the year. And make way for the king. Make way. Make straight paths. Clean up those places where you go and justify. Well, a little's not just a little. Just a little. Nobody knows. Listen, you're going to see exposure after exposure after exposure. And it's not to call you out. It's to purify the bride. See, God's kind of like, I've had enough stench. And it's time. I've and see, God won't just call you out automatically. He'll say, first he'll say to you, sweetie, honey, come away, step away. And you'll feel, ooh, I shouldn't be doing that, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, that's the flesh and spirit battling. And here's the thing, you can't win without him. So you say, Lord, I sinned again. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Help me. Help me become clean. Help me. What do I got to do? How do I get free? Help me work on this. And when you do that, that's like seeking and knocking. He will find a way. He's so good, and he's so great, and he's trying to get us to come up higher. See, we've sat as a church for so long and justified, well, really, when he walks in, every one of us, our knees are going to, we're going to drop to the floor, and we're going to cry, holy, holy. Start to recognize his presence now. Start to listen and be led by the Spirit. What if Facebook shuts down? What if your email shuts down? What if your TV shuts down? How will you survive? What if there's no food? Do you know that he can multiply food? Do you know people have had cupboards filled with food? Angels can bring. We have to start expecting more. And God is shaking the church. He's shaking us, I'm telling you. This is the year of shaking and awakening. And you know, last year we saw a lot of ministers, you know, exposed for sexual immorality or abuse or certain scandals here and there. And we're like, how can that be? But it used to be further away. Now it's at our back door. And here's the thing. Don't be moved. Steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That scripture is a scripture for us now. We're going to see stuff come at us left and to the right and right in front of us. And we have to say, Lord, what are you saying? When something pops up, we've got to be able to go, Holy Ghost. And a lot of times he'll say nothing or he'll say, tell it to stop. And you tell it to stop. You know, witchcraft right now is so strong in America. You know, it used to be just, you know, New Age, oh, little not too bad. It's taught in our schools. It's in the movies. It's in the books. It's everywhere. And it's become the norm. You want to know why? Because people are hungry. They're hungry for a move of God, but they're believing the counterfeit. And so our job is to recognize counterfeit from truth. How do you know I'm speaking truth right now? How do you know I'm not deceived? You got to know the Holy Ghost. Where are you going? What churches are you going to? Now, I'm not saying don't go to church and don't go to meetings, but I'm saying, where are you drinking from? Whose well are you drinking from? Have you been deceived? I have. I've been to a service, and my gosh, I find out terrible stuff happened in that church. Lord, how come I didn't see that? You didn't ask. Oh, you know, brilliant. We need to be sowers and caretakers of our vessel. You know, we have to start recognizing and we have to ask for increased discernment. It's not a special gift for special people. That's for everyone. That's in the Word. It's promised to us. And we can exercise our discernment and grow it. But many times we're like, I don't want to know. I think that, you know, my pastor's nice. I heard these rumors, but I'm sure it's not true. Go to the Lord and say, what are you saying? He'll say, pray. And then you pray. Or he'll say, get out, and you go. Or stay and speak truth. I'm telling you, this is the year of shaking. If what you saw last year stirred in you and with disgust, just wait. Just wait. The kingdoms are colliding. And when God's presence starts to, when he steps on earth, everything will be exposed. Everything. We've read the books when people, you know, die and go to heaven or die and go to hell. And they see, you know, so-and-so's in hell. And we're like, how does that happen? You know, they were the pastor of this large church. I'll tell you how it happens. Through deception. Deception is always knocking at the door. We have to be alert and on edge. And the only way to do that is through the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, I'll take it one step further. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. You know, the enemy doesn't want you to do that because there's so much power. He can't understand tongues, but there's so much power. And when you pray in tongues, you know, and I'm not talking for 30 seconds. I'm not talking for 2 minutes. I'm talking for time. Half hour, build up like muscles, like dumbbells. Build your spiritual muscles. That's how you increase. That's, you know, it's not about eating the right food, although I like healthy food and I know my body's the temple. I get that. But that is flesh. There's a spiritual muscle that has to be exercised and grown and fed. And the only way to feed it is through the Word of God and prayer. Now, there's some people in here who are into repetitive praying. I just heard the Lord say that. He hears you the first time. Some of you were taught, if I pray louder or longer and recycle it, maybe it'll happen. I'm telling you, he heard you the first time you uttered it out of your mouth. If you're not getting results, change the course of how you pray. I don't know how to pray, Lord. I don't know about the situation. I've tried everything. You know, I'm in this place. I don't get it. But I know there's a Holy Ghost who lives inside of me, and I'm going to yield to him right now. Shandala bandale bakoreto sito, andale bakoreto soko, yijala baredeleko, yamalanede atala maren. And then your flesh is going to go, you sound weird. Don't let anybody hear you. That is your flesh, which is full of pride, and the enemy trying to shut you down because there is power in the Spirit. And he's afraid that you're going to latch on to the true power, the resurrection power, and scare him and tell him where to go, and he'll lose his grip. I'm telling you, praying in tongues, there's been so much seeds of the enemy. Oh, that's a devil. Oh, really? It's funny, it's in the Word of God. And I believe Paul said he prayed in tongues more than everybody. The problem is we hear half-truth. And I'll be honest, there is some nutcases out there who take something and then water it down with deception. And then it gives a bad name. But I'm telling you, God is pure. He is holy. You are pure and you are holy. Not because you're good enough, but because you know him. And you know your rights. And so some of you are like, I don't know about that tongues, you know. Listen, do you know about water? Do you know you need water? That your body can't live without it? That you can get dehydrated and get a little off and goofy? Pray in tongues and watch what happens. It's like the super vitamin. It's like the vitamin B times 10. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And some of you are like, I don't know, that's kind of weird stuff. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to God and say, I just heard this weird message this lady up front told me about. What do you say about tongues? What do you say? Don't ask your neighbor, because they'll have an opinion, and your other neighbor will have an opinion. What's the Word of God say? Which never lies. Can't lie. It's infallible. He's gentle. He won't cause you to go, he won't do that. You know, it won't just come out of you in a service. You can control. Just like you can control a bowel movement. It's a muscle, just in the spirit. That one's in the flesh. You don't just go in your chair. You go, oh, I got to hold it and go somewhere. Same thing when praying in tongues. God won't make you just, blah. You can control when you pray and how you pray. I know this is a weird analogy, but some of you just don't get it any other way, and God knows how to talk to you. You know, so don't blame the messenger. What's that?
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, neither did I, let me tell you. That's the funny thing about being prophetic. You don't get a choice of what you say. You yield and you speak. I love that scripture, how blind is my prophet? We see in part and know in part. That's a blessing and a curse. That's because we need each other. We're not designed to do this by ourselves. Because he doesn't want us to toot our horn. Uh-huh, I got it. I know all things. And you do know all things. But you see in part. That's a, wait, how does that work? Ask him. Don't ask me, ask him. And then tell me what he says. So, I'm going to tell you a secret. Are you struggling in an area of your life? Sow seed in that area. Now, I'm not taking an offering right now. I'm giving you if you do this, you'll get that scripture. If you are struggling with, I love this one because I'm a worker. I like to help people. I never lack help because I'm always sowing into people, helping people. And so you reap what you sow. So I sow kindness. I get all kinds of kindness. I sow for my son, who's a truck driver. I sow people, the trucks, cut in front of me. Come on, come on. And I sow that for my son. So when he's on the highway and he needs to get off on a ramp, somebody will let him in. You can sow in so many ways. What's the area of lack in your life right now? Think of it. Somebody give me one, if you're brave. Go ahead.
We need help with chores.
Chores. So that's called works. So you need help with chores. So what I would do is I'd say, Lord, I got a problem here. I know the problem's not you, but I also know that system called seed, time, and harvest. I'm going to sow a seed in faith and believe for the harvest. It's not my job to worry about when the harvest comes, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sow some help. I'm going to go help my neighbor Bill or my neighbor Susie, and I'm going to help them pull weeds or whatever they need help with. And you watch. You watch. God will provide a way. He'll bring somebody to help you with that area. You know, many years ago, when God was teaching me how to trust, this is a great exercise in trusting him. Because our reaction is we want to pull up the seed. Is it here? Is it done? Trust him and let him be the master of when the sprout's going to come up and when you can harvest. And then you just thank him when he does. You're like, wow, that was when you did that. So I remember when I moved out of my house many years ago, and I kind of left, I'd like to say, in the middle of the night. And I had to go into this rental house. I was in between of a real tight squeeze. And I needed, I had to buy this roll, I bought this like remnant carpet, and I needed it in my basement. I couldn't carry that thing down there. And I was like, Lord, I need to get this down in my basement. Would you find somebody and help me? And not 10 minutes later, I look out the window and there's a worker sitting in his truck, like doing paperwork. He had just done some yard work for somebody. And I said, excuse me, could you help me? And he's like, absolutely, ma'am. And he helped me bring that down. Now, I know God handpicked that guy, and I tried to give him some money for doing it. I don't remember if he took it or not, but I'm like, he's so good. See, we're not to be begging. We're the blessed. But now we're not entitled. There's a difference. And oftentimes we sway, well, I'm entitled. I'm the blessed and highly favored one, and it's all about me, da-da-da-da. It's not. It's about him. And we have to recognize that. And so, if you have a need, sow a seed. And believe in faith and watch. It's like the farmer. We don't know when. He sows. We don't know when the corn's going to come up. We just know because God has set that seed time and harvest in effect. So I remember when I had to sell my big house. I called it the big house. It was a big old house. Chris knows that house. And, I was going through terrible stuff. And the house was... I can't remember. I don't even remember the money anymore, but it was like $650,000 house or something like that. And I called Holly and I was praying with her, and she said, I feel like you need to sow a seed. She's like, do you have $100? And I'm like, $100, or maybe it was $50. It was like a bazillion because I didn't have anything. And I said, I do. And so I took the seed and I went to Kenosha and I sowed in faith and I looked and I was looking for the right person to give it to because God will highlight who needs that because here's how it works. He uses us to bless people in the kingdom of God. And so I'm looking for who he wants me to bless. And I'm looking and I'm not seeing it. I'm in Woodman's, nothing. I'm like, did I miss it? I go down to the lake. I'm at the coffee shop. I'm like, nobody. And I'm leaving. And as I'm driving out of town, I see the bus station. And I didn't even know there was a bus station there. And I see this man and there was like a spotlight on him. And I'm like, that's the one. And I pull right up into where the buses go. I didn't know that at the time. And I get out of my car and I go over to him. I go, excuse me. This is for you. This is from Jesus. He loves you. And the guy had like a twinkle in his eye and he just smiled and he put it in his pocket. And I drove away. And I don't even think it was a week later we got a cash offer, I think for $600 or $550. I can't remember the amounts anymore. Cash offer. And this was back. Thank you. Thank you. She remembers a story from 100 years ago. That's 2008. And so, you know, many houses since then. But here's the thing. Cash offer. If you know 2008, the market crashed. You couldn't even get a mortgage. It was a recession. And jumbo loans were impossible. They cut them completely. So God provides a cash buyer $500,000 to get us out of that house. Now, because of free will, it didn't go through. My husband's like, nope, we're not taking that offer. You know, and so we were fighting and, you know, going through divorce and all that bad stuff. So, but God brought the seed and he brought the buyer. Now, it's not up to me to crank out people and free will. You know, I just was obedient. And here's what happened. I got blessed and I got taken care of and I'm still blessed and I'm still taken care of because everything I own belongs to him. I have put it in his jurisdiction. I just steward what he gives me. So when stuff happens, if my car needs tires, excuse me, your car needs tires. And he provides tires. It's not for me to figure out how he provides tires, but I will tell you, I've sewn tires into people. So I know I'll never be without tires. I think I've done it 3 times. Maybe 4. I love sewing tires into people. I think that's cool. You know, some single mom, what's that? Maybe. Maybe. Do you need tires? Sew something. Ask the Lord what you can sew. And it doesn't have to, you know, I remember teaching this years ago. Sew a button, but sew it in faith. You have to have something to sew. People, I want to give, but I can't give. Sew prayer. We love prayer. That's a currency. You know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And be careful where you sow. I'm going to tell you, not all soil is good. Some is rocky, some is hard, some is going to burn up. We know the scriptures. Ask him, where should I sow? And then be obedient and don't delay. Because if you delay, the enemy says, well, I don't know about sowing. You know, you need that for tires. You know, you want to share your testimony? From the women's retreat or no? Or you want me to use you anonymously? So I know this friend. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was in a service at the women's retreat, and I heard him tell me to sow or to put a certain amount in the offering and to change some things about other financial things in my life. And I went out for a walk in between services, and I was talking to him saying, okay, now I believe I heard you say this, and I believe I heard you say this, and it would be awesome if when I call home to talk to John about it, he would agree with me so that we're not in disagreement about it, and that I'm turning that area over to him. And I turned into the parking lot from my walk, and a man pulled up in his car that I know, and he rolled his window down and asked me how John's work has been, which in the winter is not the best. So I said, he hasn't been working. And he said, all right, I'm going to call him. I got some work for him. And actually, he never did call. Ooh. But while I was at the retreat, like 4 or 5 other people did. So
did you hear that? So the guy who said he was going to call didn't call, but 4 or 5 other people called?
Yeah.
So, hello. You know, when the thief is caught, he has to repay 7-fold. And to me, I'm claiming that for them, and I'm believing for a few more phone calls. You know, because here's the thing. Obedience is important. Now, that man didn't, he wasn't obedient. And you know, I'm not going to curse him, and I'm not going to, but I'm just going to say, if you sow in faith and do what you're supposed to do when you do it, there's always a bounty. And God knows. He made sure, I can't tell you, I don't even want to talk about this, but I can't tell you how many times people promise and then don't follow through. And they don't follow through for a couple reasons. One, they get taken out by doubt and the enemy gets a hold of them. Or two, they promise you something because they want you to like them. And they want you to think that they're great. Here's the thing. I don't care one way or the other because it all belongs to him. I don't rely on people. I've learned because if I rely on, no, I rely on him. You have a cap of limitation. If I just rely on you to bless me, hello, that's wrong order. I rely on God to bless me and take care of me because his word says so. And his word says so for every one of us. Do unto him. You know, I don't work as a minister because I want to help people. I do it because I love him so much and I have his compassion, which has grown. And I feel sad for his people that are stuck. That's the only reason why I do this. If I had it my way, I'd probably be traveling or something fun, you know, or building a house. You know, I like to do stuff like that. But I'm doing what he asked me to do. And because of that, he takes care of me. Are you in the right position? Here's a question. Are you doing what he asked you to do? Or are you doing it because it's the only thing you know to do? And if it's the only thing you know to do, you have placed a limitation on yourself and you're asking for a blessing when you're in the wrong house, so to speak. You're in the wrong part of the world, the wrong thing. And so it's real easy to get that straight. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought this was what I was supposed to do. Show me. And then I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And he'll test you because he wants to grow in trust. And so he might put something in front of you that maybe it's washing spaghetti pans all day long. And you'd be like, okay, Lord, if that's really you, I'll do it. And meanwhile, your heart doesn't want to do it. Then you say, Lord, give me the heart. Give me your heart to enjoy this. And watch what happens. It's like you'll have these encounters with God. I remember when I had to clean the bathroom at the office many years ago. Nobody was doing it. And the Lord said to me, that's my bathroom. I'm like, you're right, it is. So I get in there early and I started cleaning. I had one of these major Jesus encounters cleaning the toilet. I'm like, I'm going to do this all the time, you know, because we try to manufacture that same thing next time, and he doesn't work like that. But see, if you do the deeds that nobody sees, that's how promotion comes. It's not from pushing your way in and trying to be great. None of us are great. He is only great. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.